भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 18 पृथ्वी महाराज मिल्क्स द अर्थ प्लैनेट टेक्स्ट नंबर 21 Yaksha Rakshamsi Bhutani Pishacha Pishitashana Bhuteshu Vatsa Duduhu Kapale Shataja Savam. When the Yakshas, Rakshashas, ghosts, and witches were habituated to eating flesh, transformed Lord Shiva's incarnation, Rudra, Bhutanath, into a calf, and milked out beverages made of blood and put them into pots made of skull. Purport. There are some types of living entities in the form of human beings whose living conditions and eatables are most abominable. Generally, they eat flesh and fermented blood, which is mentioned in this verse as Shatajasavam. Leaders of such degraded men, known as Yakshas, Rakshashas, Bhutas, and Pishachas, are all in the mode of ignorance. They have been placed under the control of Rudra. Rudra is the incarnation of Lord Shiva and is in charge of the mode of ignorance and material nature. Another name of Lord Shiva is Bhutanath, meaning master of ghosts. Rudra is born from between Brahma's eyes when Brahma is very angry at the four Kumaras. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaya Srimadeva Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shnivadi Pasadhyade Siddharam. These are very, in some ways, interesting verses. Not very easy to describe or to further explain, except for the fact that everyone in the material world has their desires. And according to those desires, they want to consume something. The material world is meant for consuming something in some way or another and trying to enjoy it. And as Krishna says, Sattva Nurupa Sarvasha Shraddhad Bhavati Bharata Shraddhamaya Yam Purusha Yoyas Chadasa Eva Saha. According to one's existence under the mode of material nature, one has a particular type of faith, and according to that faith, one will work in such a way as to evolve another conception of life. According to our material nature that we've acquired, we've gotten this body. And according to the body we have, we like certain things and we don't like certain things. And this is being described here. We've gone from mystic powers to flesh and putting blood in a skull and drinking. So of course, for us, these things would not be very much appreciated. We think it's abominable. Why should they describe such a thing in the Bhagavatam? Then again, the sages, matter of fact, practically anyone who reads this will think, oh, this is not very nice. Then again, they'll go to some fast food store, and although they don't put their blood and their meat in a skull to eat it, they put it in a nice plastic plate. And they think this is actually quite sophisticated. We not only have some dead animal on our plate, but we cover it with cheese and ketchup and all kinds of other things. Put it between two pieces of bread and take out the whole family. But this is, any way you have the mode of ignorance, it's still the mode of ignorance. And the mode of ignorance means that somehow or another, enjoy the senses. Enjoy lording it over the material nature. And what could be more enjoyable for a person in the mode of ignorance than consume other living entities? Because after all, the purpose of the material existence is somehow or another to become God. To think ourselves be the enjoyers, the controllers, the well-wishers, or the opposite of that, the person who decides who lives and who dies. So if we're eating another living entity, that means we must be the lord of them. And we're enjoying them. And they're empowering us to become even more powerful and to lord over more living entities with their energy. I'll be able to exploit and lord over all living entities within this universe, and one day I'll be God. But still Krishna's arranged it so that although it's just an external play in the sense that the living entity is always the same soul, he doesn't change. The only thing he's doing, he's accepting certain ideas, and Krishna is sensing the ideas that he's accepting, just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. Krishna can understand how the living entity is becoming attached to certain ideas that are flowing through his mind. And those ideas, of course, are obtained by association, especially through the process of hearing. When we hear the glories of some aspect of the material nature, how wonderful it is to do something. In the previous verse, we learn how wonderful it would be to have mystic powers, to be able to fly in the sky, to be able to enter into the earth, to be able to expand yourself the size of a mountain. How interesting that must be. How much respect we'd get, how much power we'd get over other living entities. But if we can't do that, then let's go to McDonald's and enjoy. If due to our past activities, we've gotten a body which has no opportunity whatsoever of, first of all, even hearing a description of mystic power or anything of a higher nature, if our life, we've been born in a situation where we're living in a modern society where they have so much advertisement for fast food restaurants and how we've obtained mystic power by having cars and television sets and radios and videos and computers and spaceships, that we've reached the pinnacle of existence that's possible, and now the highest mode of enjoyment, the one thing that everyone should look forward to is to go to some fast food restaurant and eat a dead animal. Hopefully it's an animal, it could be a human being too, know that. And that way you can actually enjoy. In other words, according to who we're hearing from, that will really determine what we're going to do. And what we do is going to determine what we find enjoyable. People, they drink alcohol. And at first, I guess it's not very tasteful. That's what I heard. Is that right? It doesn't taste very good, alcohol at first.
Yes.
What's that?
That's right, yes.
But gradually our consciousness meets the alcohol somewhere, and suddenly and gradually it becomes enjoyable. If we hear that this is supposed to be enjoyable, everyone else is enjoying it, then often we think I should also enjoy it too. One man is telling another that if you drink alcohol, you'll go to hell. I said that story the other day. So ultimately, if his whole family and friends are in hell, he thinks hell must be heaven. But whether we're describing mystic powers or the yakshas and rakshasas, ghosts and witches, ultimately the material experience will be punat punas charavata charavanana. Someone may get mystic powers for some time, but then after some time they'll misuse those powers trying to enjoy, and the result is they'll become degraded. Or someone may be a witch for a while and cast spells, which is another kind of, quote, mystic power. But after a while, one will get bored of the whole thing. Or one may get into another association, either higher or lower, and get a different interest in trying to enjoy. Nowadays, even the witches, they watch television. Even become a ghost. There's channels for ghosts to watch. For all living entities, practically speaking, they'll have some association according to similar body embodied, similar liking, living entities who have similar liking, but even amongst them there is varieties, and therefore one will become interested in other subject matters, other activities, which will produce other bodies and other opportunities for sense gratification. And even when we're interested in avoiding the mode of ignorance, we think that this is abominable. But then again, mystic powers is not really that much different. The whole material creation is simply a combination of earth and water and fire, air and mind and false ego, put together in such a way as to seem like it's actually real. Real in the sense that the forms that it's taking have some substance to them. Although the energy may be eternal in some form or another, but the forms are only temporary, so they're only apparent. So we may think one form is enjoyable and another form is not enjoyable. But actually, it's just trying to figure out the difference between wet stool and dry stool. In India, they pass stool in the field, and there's a class of people who are supporting the fact that the stool that faces the sun and becomes dry is better than the stool that's not facing the sun and remains wet. They think one form of stool is better than the other. But after all, the subject matter is stool. Wet or dry, it's still the same subject matter. The material world may be differentiated between higher and lower modes of material nature, but after all, what we're talking about is just material nature. It's just either more subtle or more gross attempt to enjoy the external energy. And ultimately, it winds up in the same situation. Punat punas charavata charavanana. Simply chewing the chute, which will eventually give us another birth. Maybe in a higher place in the heavenly planets, where life is longer and less stressful and therefore more enjoyable, or maybe in a lower species of life where the competition for survival is even greater. And not only on this planet, but maybe in some other planet. Maybe we can join some Tyrannosaurus Rex in some planet trying to eat. kid born as a little baby Tyrannosaurus Rex and looking around for a bite to eat at the local pond, the local lake. Go down to the local lake. Mother Tyrannosaurus Rex takes her whole family for lunch at the local lake. So that's not completely out of the question, because whatever species of life we're born in, it'll simply be eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Maybe as a Tyrannosaurus Rex, maybe as a demigod in the higher planets, maybe as a ghost. In any case, the same desires will be there, maybe in a higher mode, maybe in a lower mode, but it'll be the same activities again and again and again. Until one is convinced that this body should be utilized in Krishna's service, and then gradually one can get out of the darker modes of nature, which will not allow one to perceive that there is a higher objective of life other than eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Prabhupada tells a story that even Marquis of Jetland, the governor of Bengal, who Prabhupada had met in his college years, or at least had come to the school that Prabhupada was attending, that he was somewhat favorable because of his towards spiritual life. Therefore he asked one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, can you make me into a Brahmin? And Prabhupada said, his godbrother said, yes, no problem. All you do is have to follow these four principles: no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. And his reply is, impossible. So even a so-called educated, sophisticated, aristocratic gentleman, when he heard that in order to become elevated, he had to follow certain principles, especially those principles, he thought it was impossible. The conclusion is we should try to understand the attachment that people have to these activities, and how only by trying to engage eating, sleeping, mating, defending in Krishna's service can actually one get out of these illicit activities or these activities in lower modes of nature and see some gradually come to the mode of goodness and understand what is the path of liberation, so we can actually enter into a world which is actually happy and blissful rather than a hard struggle for material nature, simply to eat, sleep, mate, and defend in the 8,400,000 species of life. To get our milk, whether the milk may be, here it says, beverages made of blood, and put them into pots made of skulls. Or milk out mystic powers in this one, the previous one. So everyone has their food in this material world, but ultimately the real food is prasad coming from Krishna. If we learn how to accept Krishna's prasad, we'll learn how to actually accept Krishna consciousness. And rather than trying to enjoy things in this material world directly, if we try to serve Krishna and enjoy his enjoyment, enjoy his happiness, which is the actual real happiness, then the result is that we'll actually experience happiness with our spiritual senses. And if we simply try to satisfy the external senses and have them enjoy, and try to enjoy the enjoyment of the external senses, it'll simply be the same thing over and over again, whether it's mystic powers or blood in a pot in a skull, or perhaps there's other things here. Specific mystic powers, yogic powers, threw the milk into a lotus pot. The milk took the shape of sweet, musical art and beauty. everyone has their taste in the material world. Everyone has it. And there is some place where they can enjoy that taste, and if they try to enjoy it, they get a kind of satisfaction. But ultimately, unless we become Krishna conscious and offer these things to Krishna, we'll simply try and go through the whole material universe. Either it'll be mystic powers, or blood in the pot, or it'll be art and beauty, or whatever else is mentioned here as our enjoyment. And ultimately, we'll be frustrated because it won't give us the satisfaction and happiness we're looking for. So I'll stop there. Any questions?
So you started your lecture, Maharaj, with mentioning that everyone in this material world has desires, and according to one's nature, one can fulfill one's desires. The Vedas are like a desire tree, and we've seen the Vedas. A part of the Vedas is about Nirvritta Marg, the other about Pravriti Marg. It's difficult to see for one who looks at the Vedas what's Preyas and what's Shreyas, what's the ultimate good and what's the temporary good for the body. My question is, why is this like that? Why is this so difficult to perceive? Was it a mistake from Srila Vyasadeva to emphasize this sense enjoyment in the Vedas?
Well, in the lower modes of nature, one has no choice. Just like we told you, if you go to work this whole week, then, well, you tell an ordinary person, if you work your whole life, then at the end of life you can go to Brahmaloka. Mm-hmm. Are they going to work their whole life to go to Brahmaloka? They don't believe in Brahmaloka. Mm-hmm. Why are they going to work to go to Brahmaloka? Or to speak of Vaikuntha? Give up everything. Krishna says, give up everything, surrender to me. But people don't believe in Krishna. They don't even know what the word surrender means. Why are they going to do it? Mm-hmm. If you tell someone you work for 3 months you can get a television set. You know, a 3D television set. Then they'll believe you. They'll do it. Because it's something they have some faith in and some direct experience of. Their friends have one, they heard about its glories, and they're willing to sacrifice in order to get the object that they think will help make them become happy. So everyone, according to their faith, has faith in certain things, certain objectives. They believe certain things are real, they exist, and can make them happy. So those three activities, the three aspects are always there, according to our faith. We believe certain things exist. In other words, we have experience or knowledge of them. And we believe they'll make us happy. But if we don't believe something exists, we don't believe it's going to make us happy, we're not going to bother doing anything in relation to it. Happiness means either it's going to gratify our senses or it may be an obstacle. So people may work for the negative also, trying to avoid problems, or trying to get some what they consider positive happiness. But that's according to their faith. So Srila Vyasadeva, according to their faith, he's arranged it that there are certain activities which promise a certain type of happiness, and therefore people are interested in doing that sacrifice in order to get that result. But the nice thing about the systematic outline of the Vedas is if you follow the activities or sacrifices according to your mode, that he'll the Vedas will elevate one to a higher mode rather than degrade one to a lower one. Therefore, the principles of regulation, renunciation for higher goals, everything like that is there. And when one performs it, then gradually one will become interested in higher and higher progressive goals. Like Dhruva Maharaj, he was told by Narada Muni how to perform sacrifice and austerity to reach a certain goal. But part of the activity was to become absorbed in Krishna consciousness in order to get Vishnu to give him that goal. But after he became absorbed in Krishna consciousness, he realized that actually the goal should have been to become Krishna conscious. Therefore, he didn't think his original objective had any real value compared to Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes.
Mm. What kind of happiness can we promise to people who we preach to? Because, as you said, these people haven't got any faith even in God, and what we can promise them to attract them to Krishna consciousness.
Depends who they are. But generally speaking, and what you're doing, if you have 5 minutes with the person, obviously you can't explain the first 9 cantos of the Bhagavatam in order to introduce them to Krishna's pastimes. No, I mean, generally speaking, our preaching is to give them a book, especially on something like the Padyatra. And how did you give it to them? You know, that's usually what our lines are, what we're telling them. This will free you from anxiety. Your children will become more obedient or something, you know, whatever. What kind of work do you do? Well, I'm a farmer. Well, if you read this book, you take the book, then your crops will grow more. Teach you how to get bigger corn. It has to relate to people. I mean, maybe that's what you say, but you have to relate to people according to what they're looking for. Everything there, Nigama Kalpatura Galitam Pulam, Pibhata Bhagavatam Amalam, Mohur. So, according to our acharyas, this book, the Bhagavatam, Nigama Kalpatura Galitam, it is the desire tree of the Vedic wisdom. Everything is there, including how to grow bigger corn. So what makes them happy is growing corn. Somehow or another, relate the book to their growing corn, and then they'll be interested in buying it. Generally, people are just interested in themselves, their family, and their football, and whatever sports they're interested in. And maybe some movie star or something. Other than that, they have no other objective. But if they get the book and someone reads it, then gradually they'll learn about higher and higher objectives, at least something better. And maybe it may change their life for the better. They're seeking after something higher than what they're presently doing, according to the Vedic instruction. They'll be able to make progress towards Krishna consciousness. And even if they give only a small donation, and that small donation is used for some higher purpose, then the result is they get benefit. The same money that would have been used for illicit sex or intoxication, gambling, and meat eating, is being used to serve the deities. So certainly their life is to a very small extent or to some extent is making some progress. Anything else? Okay. Purandara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande.